Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The key to country music, fans say, is the common touch, heartfelt or something like it, and aimed squarely at the common man.
Daddy put in his 40 years, got his gold watch, and then they sent him home. Never knew what a struggle was like till I cried tears on a stone.
There was a big concert last night for the reopening of the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville. We're taking the opportunity to dive into country. It may or may not be what you expect these days. Phil Vassar sings Prayer of a Common Man here. He's got a used pickup truck and a bad mortgage. Kenny Chesney's huge, but says no gun racks or truck stops for him. Taylor Swift goes all the way to pop. This hour on Point, we're listening to what country music has to say. You can join the conversation. Do you run to it or run from it? Does it get you through? How? Joining me first today from Nashville is Pete Fisher, Vice President and General Manager at the Grand Ole Opry. Big concert there last night to celebrate the reopening of the Grand Ole Opry House, closed in May after flooding hit Nashville and the house. Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, Martina McBride, Trace Adkins, Blake Shelton, Josh Turner, and many more were there. Pete, congratulations on your reopening. Welcome to On Point.
Well, thanks, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Is it true that you could only get to the stage by boat back in May?
That's exactly right. Early May, I actually took a kayak through the theater. We took on 2 feet of water in the lobby and actually 4 feet of water on stage and backstage.
Unbelievable. And describe the rehab for us. What did you do with the storied Grand Ole Opry House?
Well, in spite of this challenge brought to us by the flood, we really accepted it as an opportunity to really step up and upgrade the 36-year-old Grand Ole Opry House. And so we added things like 18 themed dressing rooms that really do a wonderful job telling the story of the Grand Ole Opry. We upgraded the technology, including a high-definition video projection system and new moving light system. We really like to stay on top of technology to really serve the production needs of the artists.
So you've got dressing rooms now, what, devoted to Roy Acuff and Minnie Pearl, and a little sound in the house last night. Here was this was at the concert for the reopening. Here's Hillbilly Bone at the Grand Ole Opry House last night, sung by Trace Adkins and newest Opry member Blake Shelton.
When it fires you up, you gotta let it shine. When it feels so right that it can't be wrong. Come on, come on, come on.
Last night, the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville reopening after big flood damage in May. Of course, a lot of Nashville got hit. Grand Ole Opry House now back with its own big concert there. Pete Fisher is the general manager of the Opry. Pete, does all the different sort of range of country music out there now still fit on the Grand Ole Opry stage? Is it all under your umbrella?
Absolutely. We really like to showcase the rainbow of musical styles. We're not afraid to put, to present a traditional artist who might have had hits back in the 1960s right next to a contemporary performer like Taylor Swift or Rascal Flatts. Country music is really enjoying not only broad appeal, but also a real broad range of musical styles. And we like to celebrate that with every one of our Grand Ole Opry shows.
Well, we're glad you got the house back together. Been on the radio longer than any other show out there, I guess. And the house itself had to travel around after the flood hit, but it's up and running now and all buffed up. Pete Fisher, general manager at the Grand Ole Opry, thank you for being with us, Pete.
Well, thanks very much, Tom. My pleasure.
With us a little bit more from last night's concert. This is Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Country stars of many generations joining in at the Grand Ole Opry last night. Here's Brad Paisley, Connie Smith, and a chorus.
Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a feather on the wedding in the sky.
Take
We're looking at this hour at where country music has been, where it's come, where it's going. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Do you run to it or from it? Does it get you through the day? How? We're at 800-423-TALK. Joining me, a little later in this hour, I should say, we're going to hear from country star Josh Turner, who played at the Opry last night. But first, we are joined by two fine observers of country music. From Nashville, Paul Kingsbury is with us, author of Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Country Music in America and the Encyclopedia of Country Music. He's not country only. His book Woodstock, 3 Days That Rocked the World, is out in paperback next week. Paul Kingsbury, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be with you.
It's great to have you. And with us from Los Angeles, Neil Haislip is here, author of Giants of Country Music, Classic Sounds and Stars from the Heart of Nashville to the Top of the Charts. He's also producer and writer of the Country Giants series of radio profiles of big country stars. He writes the weekly Country Q&A feature for the Great American Country Network. Neil Haislip, thank you for joining us.
How are you?
Thank
you for having me. I appreciate it, Tom.
It's great to have you both. And so we got the Grand Ole Opry House reopening last night. Kenny Chesney's got a big album out. Hemingway's Whiskey just coming out just in the last couple of days here. But we heard him on NPR, of all places, Paul, Neil saying, I've never been the one to sing about gun racks and truck stops. Where's country headed, Paul, these days, Paul?
Well, you know, country's always maintained a very healthy tension between the tradition and moving ahead. And I think as we move forward, you're going to see some of tradition held on too tightly. You know, we're still going to see songs that are their stories of real life. Christian faith is still going to be in there, love songs. But I think you're going to see more multiculturalism in country. I think you're going to hear more rap, big and rich, really push the envelope with that early on. And I think it's going to be interesting as we move ahead.
Neil, do you really see multiculturalism coming? It may be, but sometimes it seems and no offense here, but it can seem like a kind of a white refuge.
Well, it is really, and one of the things that happened positively for country in the 1990s was the change in popular music was to rap and hip hop, and so a lot of people needed a place to go to hear the music related to their life. So country music, with the stars were out at that point, were giving middle American white people the place where they could go listen, and it sounded real good to them and gained audience that way.
It gained a lot of audience. Of course, the whole music industry has suffered in the internet age. All kinds of album sales are down, but it's interesting. Country's fared a lot better than almost every other format. I mean, you've got alternative rock is down 15%, Christian gospel down 6%, classical down 8%, 9%, Latin down 34%, rap down 20%, rock down 11%, country down only 3.2%. It's hanging in there. It's been around for a long time. Let's go way back. Here's Blue Yodel number one. T is for Texas. Jimmy Rogers, 1927.
Tea for Texas, tea for Tennessee, tea for Selma, that gal that made a wreck out of me. Ole, 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 ole.
Now we're yodeling. That's old school. Paul, did everybody understand right away that this was a music that a huge part of this country would eventually click into, or did it just sound like mountain music at the beginning?
Well, it's true that initially, you know, when we look at the commercial beginnings of country in the 1920s, it was very much seen as a regional white person's music, you know, music of the South and of the hills and the hollers. But it grew very steadily through the decades. You know, when you have the Grand Ole Opry become an NBC network radio show in the 1940s, you get guys like Eddie Arnold become huge stars. And, you know, then you get Hank Williams with writing huge songs like Your Cheatin' Heart and Jambalaya, which end up becoming pop hits for pop singers. I would say by the 1950s, people recognized that country music was more than just Southern music.
And it's interesting today, Neil, that, you know, it's one of the few formats, and some people love it, and others just absolutely, you know, it's fingernails on the blackboard. But it's one of the few formats that can talk directly in the lyrics about what's going on right now. Whatever's in the headlines, you can find it in country music. And these days, it's a lot of pink slip foreclosure talk.
Yeah, that's always been the case. Whatever's going on in ordinary people's lives, country singers are going to sing about it. And depending on whatever taste a listener has, right now country music is offering real traditional kind of artists. New ones coming on like Randy Houser and Jamie Johnson. They're going back to bedrock, Waylon Jennings type country. And then, of course, you have Taylor Swift, who was completely different and related to a whole different segment of the audience, and also was one of the first to embrace the internet as a way to market herself. And she's been kind of a pioneer in that way.
We're going to hear a lot in this hour about what's going on right now in country music, but a lot has gone on already. A lot of it very simple. Hey, Good Looking Here from Hank Williams, 1951. Neil Haislip in L.A., author of Giants of Country Music, please stand by. And Paul Kingsbury in Nashville, author of Will the Circle Be Unbroken. Listeners, you can join us. Are you solid country on your playlist? An occasional country girl, boy? Never heard a note? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna throw my date book over the fence and buy me one for 5 or 10 cents. I'll keep it till it's covered with age, 'cause I'm writing your name down on every page. Say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I guess I was wrong, I just don't belong, but then I've been there before.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking about country music this hour and where it's headed. Garth Brooks behind me there with Friends in Low Places. You can join the conversation this hour. What gives country music its staying power? Are you afraid it's turning into soft rock with Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood, Keith Urban? Or do you love their stuff? Is country music the one telling the story of this recession, these times? 800-423-8255 is our number. And beer chases my blues away. Now we'll be okay. 800-423-TALK. Paul Kingsbury is with us from Nashville this hour. Country music historian and critic, author of Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Neil Haislip is with us from Los Angeles. Country music expert, author of Giants of Country Music. Let's see, we've got all kinds of responses here already. Here's Steve says, I love what many people consider to be the traditional country music. This is off the web. Says, I have no idea what this stuff is they play today on country radio. I do know that I can't listen to it. Country pop light, cutesy poo fluff, he says. I don't know. Constantine in Boston? Constantine, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What do you think?
I was ecstatic that you played some Jimmie Rodgers to start out with, because I first got exposed to country when I was living in New York City and somebody gave me a Jimmie Rodgers album, and that was an album that really changed how I saw the world, and I think that I wouldn't pay money for most of the stuff you hear. On the other hand, you can't kill country music. The hardcore stuff, it's not the mainstream stuff. I mean, it gets sold under the name Americana or whatever.
Right.
That stuff is still there. I mean, the which carries on, which carries on the spirit of, you know, Merle Haggard and the Carters and the whole bunch.
Right. But of course, that's not what the stations play most today. So, you know, do you listen to it now? Constantine, is it on your radio? Is it one, two, or three of your buttons?
No, I'm grateful for the internet, because I wouldn't listen to it. I've tried listening to it, and it's terrible. And even the really innovative folks who are taking the country and doing something with it, one of my favorite artists is, if you're ready for this, a Canadian country rapper, a guy named Buck 65, so people who are doing the really, who are really pushing the boundaries or recording the stuff that has substance, they're not going to make it to the mainstream, and that's why, you know, it's great that we live in this time when you know, you can plug into Pandora or a dozen other places and say, oh, I need the real stuff, not the stuff that's going to sell, not the stuff that's just aiming for that mainstream nonsense.
Constantine, I love the old school too, but you may be a bigger purist than me. I have to admit, it still runs in my automobile now and then. It gives me kind of a interesting way to plug into the world. And these days, no small part has been plugging right into what's going on with the economy. Here's John Rich with Shutting Down Detroit.
'Cause in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. While the boss man takes his bonus pay and jets on out of town. And D.C.'s bailing out them bankers as a farmer's auction ground. Yeah, while they're living it up on Wall Street in that New York City town, here in the real world, they're shutting Detroit down. Here in shutting Detroit down.
John Rich with Shutting Detroit Down. This new school, old school debate goes on, and we'll get to it, Paul and Neil, but I don't want to lose sight of how country is, you know, going straight at a lot of the stuff that's in the headlines these days on the economy. I mean, here's John Rich. You know, my daddy taught me that in this country, everyone's the same. You work hard for your dollar. You never pass the blame. And he sings, now I see all these big shots whining on my evening news about how they're losing billions, and it's up to me and you to come running to the rescue. I can't think of another genre where it just laid out that plain and simple, Neil, you know, what's going on and people reacting to it in music.
Well, country music's always been that way, even if it's the more contemporary sounding artists like a Kenny Chesney. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's singing about stuff that he went through as a kid and playing football and that sort of thing right now, and that's relatable to everybody. And but on the other hand, you have Randy Houser, there's a new band called Zach Brown Band, where the lead singer was a classically trained opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
So country music's attracting a lot of different kind of artists, but it has its staple of people that are there, that have been there for 20 years and are still making good music and still talking to the core of country fans like George Strait. And if you look really closely at the music of some of the people who come along, like Miranda Lambert, she's made a breakthrough with her latest record, and everybody's saying now that she is a real find in terms of country music fans. She can get the contemporary people, but she can get the solid country fans as well with what she sings and writes about.
Here's Jamie Johnson. This is from 08, but it gives a sense, again, of people singing about where we are in history, about where people have been, called In Color.
I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11. Times were tough back in 35. That's me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm and a Great Depression. And if it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color.
Should have seen it in color. In Color from Jamie Johnson. Just with that message that you think it's tough now, it was tough then. It looks kind of romantic and black and white, but folks lived it in color. Let's get a caller from Nashville. Serena, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love country music. My uncle really got me into it when I was a young child, especially with Hank Williams and... Oh, Roy Rogers is one of his favorite people, and now it's just, now that he's passed, I listen to it just to remember those times we had. But I also love it by myself, but when I was in high school with Reba and Garth Brooks and everybody that just came out, it's just, I love it.
So will you listen to it, I don't know, at home, on the stereo, or in the car, on the way to work, or where do you sit with it?
I I listen to it all the time. Actually, I was actually singing an Alison Krauss song before I called, and it's like trying to teach my children, because my husband is an avid other genre music fan, and just trying to get some country into them, so, you know, they need to be a little bit country.
Avid other genre? Don't be so vague. What do you mean? What's that other genre?
He loves rap music, and I'm just like, I like it, but I like country more. And me and my children are trying to make him a little country like me.
And what does he say when you've got your country on? Does he hold his hands over his ears and say, oh, it's maudlin, it's sappy, I can't take it? Or
oh, he rolls his eyes and he looks at me. He's like, there go your country music again. And it's just really funny. I think I got on the light Garth Brooks a little.
So rap versus country in Serena. So Serena, thank you very, very much for your call. Here's a little bit of Carrie Underwood. This is 2005. Christian rock may be down, but she kind of crossed over. Here's Jesus Take the Wheel. This was before the economic meltdown, but you can already hear that sense of folks vulnerable. Carrie Underwood's character in this song, vulnerable, and where she's reaching.
Jesus, take the
Carrie Underwood, 2005. Her character there is driving home to Cincinnati. It's an icy night. The car's out of control. Baby's in the back seat. 50 miles to go. You know, running low on gasoline, running low on faith. This kind of get me through hard times theme has always been there, Paul. But it really resonates these days. I mean, a lot of people are living out on the edge.
Sure. Well, as Neil was just saying before, you know, country music has made itself part of the American fabric by telling people's stories. I mean, if you go back in history, Merle Travis was singing 16 tons. You know, 16 tons, mm-hmm. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You had Johnny Cash singing about being busted. Or Merle Haggard, who did the very famous country song, If We Make It Through December. If we just make it through December, things are going to be all right. That continues to be part of the fabric of country music, telling it like it is.
There is plenty of class consciousness in country music, Neil. I mean, we had Garth Brooks and Friends in Low Places, but he's talking about, you know, just give me a little time, a little whiskey, and I'll be as high as that ivory tower that you're living in, you know, the one who used to be his. But he's not going to let it get him down.
Well, that's right. I mean, Alan Jackson's also, excuse me, one of our great country poets and singers right now. And he had a recent hit with Hard Hat and a Hammer. It kind of reflects that. And he gets back to real simple themes like his latest, I Still Like Baloney. You know, I Still Like Baloney. Songs like that. But also, he's capable of writing Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning, the
9/11 song.
The greatest song written in the wake of the attack on America.
Paul, what about Carrie Underwood had Jesus Take the Wheel? What about the Christian thread in country music today? Is it... That got very big in the last 10 years. Is that cooled off a little, or where does that stand?
No, I think it's deeply embedded in the fabric of country music. I mean, my goodness, they opened the Opry show last night with singing Will the Circle Be Unbroken, which is an old gospel song, which the Carter family made
mm-hmm.
famous.
Mm-hmm.
There are always going to be songs of Christian faith in country, I think that's just a given.
But it's funny how Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Yes, an old gospel song, but it takes on a kind of, it can take on a secular resonance there too, for just for simple continuity. Charlie in Scituate, Massachusetts. Charlie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
It's something similar to what the gentleman was just saying. I spent some time as a monk, and I loved country music from the time I was a young kid. But in the monastery, we had to pray the Psalms a lot, and they go from, a situation of lamentation to a situation of praise of God. And I've always associated country music with that. I mean, genuine country music, the kind that moves me. Alison Krauss has meant a great deal to me. I don't go to see concerts, but I've been to see four of hers. And I just think two of her songs got me down to the river and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Living
Prayer of Alison Krauss. And I think they have to have some spirituality to them in order to be as real. The modern commercialism is not going to give us the same thing in country. Thanks very much for your call, Tom.
Charlie, it's really good to have you. I mean, I wonder about that school, Alison Krauss School. Serena mentioned it, so did Charlie, that sort of Americano or roots wing of things here. I mean, Neil, has that got a full place at the country table these days, or is that now a cousin on a different channel?
Are you talking about religious themes?
No, not necessarily, but roots, the sort of roots or Americana end of what you might call country, Alison Krauss?
Well, yeah, Americana is kind of a catch-all format, and it's dealt with by the Grammys every year. I just finished a session on the Grammy Country Screening Committee where they look at all the songs, and we have to take some of the songs that are in country music and put it over there because they don't fit the country genre so much, but they're making the kind of statements that you're talking about. And so it's not affecting country music so much, but it's a good place for country artists who are singing in a little different theme and something that might not be commercial in the country field. Might have a place to be heard on radio in Americana field.
You're definitely going to have listeners who listen right across that very thin borderline. Let's go to Moses Lake, Washington, Washington State. And Scott, you're on the air.
No, this is Doug. Hey, my daughter is 17 years old, and she listens to country music. I'm really glad that she's listening to it. But I want to make the point that when she listens to it, she listens to it because she sees the talent in these younger country music singers. When I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, we listened to it because it was what was going on in the times, and we just it related to our life at the time. I think this younger generation listens to it more for the talent.
And are you saying that country was what was going on in the 60s and 70s, or rock had that story, was telling that story then?
Well, you know, country, it was what was going on with us at the time. Rock was, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Rock did have lots going on this time, but I like the old stuff. I listen to XM radio as a truck driver. You know, we get that old stuff that we grew up with. Just don't hear that on the AM/FM radio anymore.
Hey, Doug, I'm really happy for your call from Moses Lake, Washington. I mean, Paul, there's Doug, whose 17-year-old daughter listens to it, and he says, look, it's for the talent. Say what the old school believers will. She, for her, it's for the talent.
Well, I'm sure that's his perception, but I bet if we were to talk to the daughter on the phone, she'd probably say, well, she's listening to Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood because they're singing songs that speak to her life. You know, Taylor Swift is an incredible talent, not only at singing and performing, but also telling that story of what it's like to be a teen, a young person growing up with their problems. She's almost their diarist.
Here's Hank Williams Jr. with Red, White, and Pink Slip Blues.
Out in the rain, I paid my bill, I paid my dues, I paid my share of taxes too. Now I can't buy my kids no shoes. I got these red,
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about country music this hour, where it's been, where it is, where it's headed, the story it's telling about this story. Taylor Swift behind me there with 2009's You Belong to Me. Paul Kingsbury is with us, author of Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Country Music in America.
Neil Haislip is with us. Giants of Country Music is his book. He's founder and producer-writer of the Country Giants series of radio profiles of big country stars. Writes the weekly Country Q&A feature for the website of Great American Country. Let's get another call from Nashville. What's happening there? Christine. Christine, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. What do you know?
Well, I just thought that somebody should say something about the musicianship of our country music stars. I mean, mm-hmm. You talked about the incredible poetry of Alan Jackson, but Keith Urban is one of the greatest guitar players ever, and some of even Taylor Swift's songs, just the complexity of her songs, and some of the vocal performances that Brooks and Dunn have put together.
Oh yeah,
they really, I think in terms of some of the other genres that are popular right now, in particular. Country music is, the home of our best musicians.
I'm glad you say it, Christine. Let us bring one right in here right now. Thank you very much for your call. Also with us from Nashville, and he was there last night for the Grand Ole Opry House, a big concert, multiple Country Music Association and Grammy nominee. His song All Over Me is currently number 3 on Billboard's country chart. Josh Turner is with us. Josh Turner, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are you?
We're great. You hear Christine there in your backyard in Nashville saying, hey, let's not forget the musicianship that goes on in country music these days. What do you say to her point, Josh?
Yeah, I totally agree. Country music has always been just a wide-ranging style of music, and that's what I've always loved about it, whether it's, what the songs are about, the subject matter, or just, I grew up listening to a lot of artists who would, who were talented enough to be able to throw in an instrumental and just like I say, there's always humorous songs. There's always songs that, focus on the harmonies and the vocals, and there's just so many different types of country music and so many facets of country music. And so I think there's a little bit of something for everybody out there. And that's what, you were mentioning, the Grand Ole Opry. And I think that's what the Opry, I think that's what made the Opry so famous and so important and so instrumental in, throughout our history, because it showcases each and every one of those facets of our style of music.
And sometimes there's hard times in the music, and sometimes there's good times. Your big hit right now, All Over Me, has a lot of the latter. This is from your 4th album, Josh, Haywire, of course. Number 3 right now on Billboard's country list, All Over Me.
Baby, I'm on my way to come and get you. Meet me at the end of your drive. Grab your shades and your string bikini and your copper tone 45. Bring on the sunshine, bring on a good time, girl, let me look at you. Jump in the front seat, kick up your bare feet, honey, let your hair down too. I know a spot down on the river underneath a sycamore tree. Save all your kids. Up, bring on your sweet love, pour it all over me, all over me.
Josh Turner's big hit right now, All Over Me. I mean, Josh, how do country musicians decide where they come down? I mean, we heard Hank Williams Jr. there as kind of, almost rock politics with his red, white, and pink slip blues. And here you've got, your string bikini and your copper tone 45 and sunshine and kisses, and it feels, it's good times. Do you do both? Do you come down on the other sort of hard times politics side sometimes? How do you decide?
Well, for me, I just kind of, let my heart be the guide. And with this new album of mine, Haywire, I didn't really have a concept in mind going into this record, but the first song that we found for this record was Why Don't We Just Dance? And when I heard that song, it made me realize that this is what our country needs right now. There's a lot of focus on the hard times and the economy and the mm-hmm. housing market and, all the stuff going on politically and everything. And, it's just when you turn on the TV, it's just it's just draining just to watch it. It just kind of brings you down. It gives you a negative outlook on life. And so I felt compelled to put together an album that kind of took people's minds off of all of that and allowed them to sit back and think about the great things in their life and the great things in their family and, you know, just in their heart. And so why don't we just dance with exactly that kind of song? And it even encouraged people to turn the TV off, you know, and move the furniture and you know, clear a space right. where you can dance with the one you love.
People need that, too. Josh Turner sings, "Lay on a blanket, listen to the river, get a little carried away." Josh, hang on. Let's get a caller here. Gorham, New Hampshire. Rich, you're on the air with Paul Neal and Josh Turner.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy the topic here. There are no presets on my radio. I don't really consider myself a hardcore music fan of any genre.
Okay.
But country music, in a way, changed my life. It was music appreciation 101 for me, and that led me to enjoy all types of music. But one thing that concerns me, and it's not country music, but it's more the industry, I guess, playing on. You mentioned multiculturalism earlier, and that's something I would love to see a lot more in country music. But I don't think right now the country music industry is actually interested in that. It seems to target a certain audience that actually, I don't know, maybe is a little bit more bigoted than I think is fair to sell, given country music's place in historically in the U.S.
So what? Maybe you're hearing a little more, not so much multicultural tapestry, but I don't know what nationalism or patriotism or I mean, you say bigotry, that's a tough word, but that's where you're pointing. I don't know, Josh Turner. How about it? I mean, here's another. This is from Liz. She's writing in on the website. She says she's a big country fan, but she stopped listening because of the politics that have edged their way into the programs. Just can't listen. Need to get out of politics. Play all artists, not just the ones who share a point of view. You know, a lot of people do associate country music with a kind of a right or right wing view of the world now. Josh, what about that?
You know, it's just you know, country music has a steep history in rural America. Whether that's right wing or left wing, you know, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of diverse artists within our genre, and whether or not they come out and speak their views is one thing, but I can speak you know, firsthand. There's a lot of you know, right wing. There's a lot of left wing. There's a lot of people who just don't even care, you know. And for me, you know, I've always been pretty conservative, but I've never really felt the need to get out there and get in the studio and cut a record where I'm going to let everybody know my political views and how I vote and, you know, what I believe, you know, as far as, you know, who's in office and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's not my place. I didn't major in politics when I went to college. I grew up wanting to sing country music, and country music, like I say, is a genre that allows me to sing about pretty much anything I want, but I try to appeal to as many people as I possibly can, and I think in my case, the way I try to do that is to sing traditional country music in a new, fresh way that, you know, really just shares my heart and shows all the different sides of Josh Turner, you know, and I try not to worry about what all the other artists are doing, but you know, the first caller, you know, he mentioned something about multiculturalism. Well, you know, Charlie Pride really broke down a lot of those barriers, you know, a long time ago, and it paved the way for several, you know, African American artists who have come along after him. And whether or not they had success is, you know, that's a whole other issue. But you know, we have artists like Darius Rucker right now, who is an African American, and he's having success. And you know, I think the reason that he's having success is because of his understanding and his appreciation for what country music stands for. And I've never really looked at country music as being bigoted. You know, I think it's been very accepting of a lot of people, and I don't think it's really geared towards one set of people or another. I mean, I did a show not too long ago where it was mostly Native American and Hispanic, you know, and I thought that was really cool to be able to to get out there, you know, this old white boy from South Carolina, you know, singing to a crowd of mostly Hispanic people and Native American people, and they were just as excited as most of my, you know, mostly Caucasian audience. So it's I feel like it's been very accepting. Now what you hear on the radio may be a whole other thing, but there's a lot more country music to be heard than just what's on the radio.
Well, Josh, you've got a lot of people up on their feet and dancing, not move the furniture to the wall and give it that whirl right now. We appreciate you being with us. All Over Me, currently number 3 on Billboard's country chart. Josh Turner at the Grand Ole Opry House last night for their Back in Business in the House concert. Josh, thank you very much for your time today. Great to have you.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Josh Turner. Here's another big one right now, Brad Paisley. This is Then.
You had me mesmerized, and 3 weeks later in the front porch light, taking 45 minutes to kiss goodnight. I hadn't told you yet, but I thought I loved you then. And now you're my whole life. Now you're my about you, girl, like a river meets the sea, stronger than it's ever been. We've come so far since that day, and I thought I loved you then.
Brad Paisley with that kind of country rock fusion, and sings a lot about, what, not barns and fields, but suburbs and life right there. Chris in Woodstock, Vermont. Chris, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. My wife and I grew up during the sort of grunge age and really didn't listen to country music until we got older and our 10-month-old daughter sort of introduced us to country music. She's mesmerized by the beats and the rhythms of country music. So
natural born from the beginning. What do you think that's about, Chris?
I don't really know. I think it's just the easygoing rhythms and the easygoing tunes that we hear on commercials, or we actually happen to stop and watch country music television. She just stops. She's soothed by it. It's kind of neat to see. And we see a lot of the crossover artists now, so we've got this appreciation thanks to an infant.
Grunge gone country, compliments of the baby in the house, Chris in Woodstock, Vermont. I appreciate your call very much. Here's a little bit more. This is Gillian Welch. Look at Miss Ohio. Combines elements of kind of Appalachian and bluegrass and Americana. Here's a wing of the country house.
Oh, me, oh, my, oh, would you look at Miss Ohio? She's running around with a ragtop down. Says I wanna do right, but not right now.
So Neil, I think you mentioned multiculturalism at the top, but it's not clear to me that that's, you know, where the big thrust of country music is. Where do you think we go here? I mean, people talk about, you know, multiculturalism. At the same time, people talk about gathering in camps, ethnic camps, cultural camps. What's the bigger influence of country on that range, Neil?
Well, I think we've been talking about it off and on. Is that you know, I don't care whether you're black, yellow, or white in America. We're mixed up, and so country music talks to things that people care about, not just black people, or not just urban people, or not just southern farmers. They talk about real life things, and so if people, as you've heard a couple of callers there say, they found country music, or they drifted into it, or they were surprised by it. And that's what happened. It's kind of a learned taste, but once you get it, it's really hard to shake. You become a country fan. And so I think that's what happens with country music. It can relate to a baby. Taylor Swift, we were talking about her and why she broke through. And I saw it one night at her first tour as an opening act with Brad Paisley, as a matter of fact. And when she started her first song, I saw all the little 12 to 14-year-old girls run down to the stage. And that was the first wave. The second wave was a bunch of 25 to 35-year-old women who were their mothers who were listening right. to the same themes and remembering right. when they were a kid
yeah.
that they went through the same things that Taylor did. And they loved having someone that could speak to their daughters about the things that they experienced as well.
Well, I do love the way it talks about, sings about the simple things in life. And there are times when that's quite an affirmation all on its own. What do you think, Paul, on this fusion front, you know, the sort of rock sound and pop and country? I mean, how far does it go before it becomes something else? Or does it somehow always stay recognizably country? What makes that?
Well, you know, that's always the big tension in country music, you know, between tradition and moving ahead with innovation. And, you know, will country gain the world only to lose its soul? And I believe it will hold on to its soul. You know, there is a, in addition to what Neil was talking about, the lyrical sensibility of country music, telling real stories in a way that people can really understand. I think gain rock influence as it has for years and years, you know, in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, one of the biggest influences on country music was the music of the Eagles. And you can hear in Brooks and Dunn the influences of the Rolling Stones.
And right
that's
on
gonna
it
continue,
rolls.
But that's that's been coming all along in country music.
Paul, we got to go right there. Paul Kingsbury, author of Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Woodstock, his paperback out next week. Thank you. And Neil Haslip in Los Angeles, author of Giants of Country Music. We'll go out with Lady Antebellum, Our Kind of Love. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Never